Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast producer of the month is Paul Lawrence. Thank you, Paul. Be just like Paul and get rewarded for supporting our podcast. Head over to patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried.
For a set amount each month, you can get some colossal benefits, such as access to new podcast episodes before anyone else, even Gilbert. Of course, Gilbert doesn't listen to the episode.
Yeah, I don't pay attention when I'm doing the interview.
Exactly. Exclusive podcast merchandise and video hangouts so you can see how beautiful we are. And just added, Gilbert will record a personalized roast of you and only you so you can share with your friends Gilbert telling you what a schmuck you are.
Yes.
It's a beautiful gift.
Yeah. Go to patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Gilbert Gottfried. Thank you for your generosity. This is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Look at you.
I remembered it this time.
I'm impressed.
You know, I should have had cue cards all this time.
You know what I heard about Carson and cue cards? Did you know this? I heard Jackie, actually. We just had Jackie Martling on the show. That Carson would have his cue card guy move from side to side so he would do the jokes in succession. And you would see him turn his head throughout the course of the monologue.
Oh,
did you know that?
No.
So he would do one to the left and one to the center and one to the right. And he would keep having the guy move. Instead of flipping the cards, he would move down the line in succession.
I heard that
speaking
Bob
of cue cards,
Hope, when he was like, you know, like 500.
Well, when his daughter was in his ear.
Oh,
in an
yes,
earpiece
yes. And his
end.
Eyes were like beet red color. And I heard, like, the cue cards, like, one letter was, like, would take up the side of a building.
Did you ever see, I don't, you know, I think the YouTube has been scrubbed of the last couple of Bob Hope specials, but there's one.
There's one where he's Jack Frost. Yes. I remember seeing
Bless
that.
Bless your heart for remembering
I
that.
I remember seeing that when it was on.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And you can see it. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, because he's obviously, he might as well be dead. There's no proof he's not dead the way he looks. He looks like he's been dead for 5 years. Yeah. And he's dressed up in a Jack Frost outfit
with
and
icicles.
A pointed beard.
He's got icicles hanging off of him.
And a pointed hat
yep.
with a ball on top.
Yep.
And she's Dolores
yes.
is doing all the singing.
Yes.
And it is hard. And you could see if he is alive, he has no fucking idea of
gold.
His own name.
It's gold. Every now and then he says, I'm Jack Frost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Jack Frost. It's truly wonderful. It's like a Bob Hope puppet.
I remember, I think Louis Anderson told me this story that Bob Hope, toward the end of his life, was there. And it's like, where, you know, where he'd look out the tops of his eyes and you couldn't, he didn't know his name, whatever. And there were a group of people who were old cronies, like old writers and friends. And each one was going up and saying, oh, and Bob's a great man and a great humanitarian and a terrific guy and greatest comic who ever, blah, blah, blah. And then one idiot in the crowd starts going, speech, speech. And it's like you could see Dolores panicking.
Unbelievable.
Because, you know, Bob Hope should not be talking.
Yes.
And so that gets the rest of the crowd going, speech, 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 speech. And Dolores nervously puts the mic to Bob's mouth and goes, Bob, would you like to say something? And he goes, decaf.
It's sort of like Karloff saying the one word as monster.
Antipasto.
Antipasto.
I heard another Bob Hope story.
Go ahead, give it to me. Give it to me. We're way off topic.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be Bob Hope this session.
Your obsession's going to be Bob Hope.
Yes, because I heard another story. Of course, Bob Hope was in. He would take those girls to overseas.
Uh huh. For the USO tours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think pretty much I had heard stories. He would, like, threaten to leave them in the middle of the jungle or wherever they were unless they fucked him.
My story is not nearly as good as that.
But I heard, like, a story, like, writers, if you worked for Bob Hope, you had to be like a fireman on call any hour of the night and day when the bell rang. Yeah. And, you know, like, so he would think nothing of calling someone up 3 a.m. and go, yeah, he needs some jokes about Nixon going to China. And then they'd have to, like, get up.
In the 90s.
Like, exactly. And so one time, one of the writers was in bed with his wife, and the phone rang. It was past midnight. And the writer turned to his wife and said, okay, if that's Bob, I'm not here, okay? And so the phone rings, the wife picks it up, and she goes, hello? And it goes, is Irving there? And she goes, no, Bob, he's not here. And he goes, do you know where he's going? And no, I really don't. And, you got any way of getting in touch with him? And she goes, no, I really have no way of getting in touch with him. And, you know when he'll be back? And she goes, no, I don't. And then Hope goes, well, do you have any idea where he is? You have any idea where he is right now? And she goes, well, Bob, he told me he was going to your house. And right on cue, Bob Hope goes, I'm sorry, there he is now. He just walked in.
Hilarious.
You ever hear of a guy named Gene Parrott? P-E-R-R-E-T.
Gene sounds so familiar.
He was Bob. I believe he's still with us. He was Bob Hope's probably number one guy, his number one writer.
Yeah.
And probably now living in Toluca Lake somewhere, Bob Hope country. I think we could probably track him down and get him on the show. If we don't send this to him.
Also not a rush.
Someone I know lived in the Valley said he saw Bob and Dolores toward the end. And they were in a supermarket, like a Ralph's in L.A., and they got to the register, and she went into her purse and pulled out a coupon.
Oh!
like a 90-cent coupon off of cream corn. And meanwhile, he owned Toluca Lake.
He owned
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the three,
I hope that's true.
Three people owned California.
Well, Gene Autry.
Yeah. Gene Autry, Bob Hope, and I think Bing Crosby.
And Harold Lloyd.
Yeah,
in the old
Harold
days.
Lloyd. Yeah. And Fred McMurray.
That's right, Fred McMurray.
Owned a lot
of. Yeah, Fred McMurray.
Yeah, and I think between all of those, they owned the state of California.
So your obsession, completely by accident, because
by
we got talking about cue cards, are bad Bob Hope specials. You know what I miss? The ones where he used to do, like, the where he'd play a cheerleader with Ann Jillian.
Oh,
the ones
geez.
In the 80s where he'd put the giant bazooms under the sweater and the rouge. My wife says they don't call it rouge anymore.
Oh, yes.
It's a blush on his face.
And I remember, too,
great
on,
stuff.
On with Bob Hope and Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
And especially when they'd work together. And it was like I'd be a kid watching this and going, oh, my God, they're so out of touch.
Oh, yeah, the Beatle wig.
Yes, yes. They'd put a, you know, yeah, I'm one of them Beatles. You know. Or Lucy would be, hey, we're hippies.
Oh, we got to find Dave Thomas and get him to come on and do his Bob Hope.
Oh, yes.
He's the best Bob Hope in the business.
And then I remember they would do, yeah, they would do that. And
oh, God.
And also, like, in Bob Hope's movies, first he started out as this kind of, like, wacky, eye-rolling, effeminate guy jumping around. He was funny.
Yep. Sure.
And then in the later movies.
Without Bing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He became that TV Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Where he just stand there and talk. And it looked like he was take time for the laugh.
Yeah.
Like they put in a laugh track. And
we do that mug face.
Oh, yes.
They used to have the football All-Americans would run out on the old Bob Hope specials. The college All-Stars would come out and each one of them would hit their mark. And say, hi, Mr. Hope. You know, Fran Tarkenton. I can't remember the school he went to. He'd just look into the camera and, like, do that bad.
Oh, yes.
The bad take. And he had a line for each one of them, for like 40 players, as they would run out.
And I remember, there were those later movies like Cancel My Reservation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which they'd never allow now.
Because of the racism.
And he basically, it takes place in the West, and he's basically Bob Hope, but they don't call him Bob Hope.
Right.
And at the end, there's like a scene where it's a lynch mob, and the lynch mob is basically doing a Bob Hope roast. And it's like, and it's so fucking obvious that none of these people were there on the same day or even on the same location.
Right.
Like they'd pull over and all of a sudden there'd be Johnny Carson and then Flip Wilson.
Yeah, these cameos.
Yeah. And it's like you'd go, oh, they're nowhere near each other. These were probably done months ago.
What's worse, the later day Hope movies in the 60s or the specials, the TV specials in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, God.
If you could find those specials. I think they were taken out of circulation because he was so doddering.
Those specials were scary.
Yeah, his daughter, Linda Hope, had an IFB in his ear, and she was whispering. She was feeding him the lines at the end.
Today's show is sponsored by Howl.fm. Howl is a brand new app and website that changes the way you think about podcasts. It's like Netflix, but for podcasts. With Howl Premium, you get exclusive access to dozens of original miniseries, audio documentaries, and comedy albums from comedians like Jim Gaffigan, Amy Schumer, and Louis C.K. New shows are released every week. Only archives from WTF with Mark Maron and all the Earwolf shows like Comedy Bang Bang or How Did This Get Made? The Howl original miniseries are truly unique.
Something Cool is an audio documentary series that focuses on the brilliant careers of the criminally underrated artists who deserve to have their stories told. Episode 3 tells the story of Carol Cleveland, who appeared in nearly every Monty Python production. Host Lorraine Newman is joined by Terry Gilliam, Neil Innes, and Carol herself to tell the story of the woman who qualifies as the seventh Python, the complete woman. It's 1963. Divorce is on the rise and the tides are changing. But love and marriage expert Maribel May is here to save your marriage. Actress Amanda Lund brings this character to life in this hilariously accurate send-up of 1960s self-help records. So remember, with Howl.fm, get access to all this exclusive content on your iPhone, your Android phone, and on the web for only $4.99 a month. And with the promo code Gilbert, you'll get a full month of free trial. To redeem your promo code, make sure you create your account on the web at howl.fm and enter code Gilbert at checkout. So go to howl.fm. That's howl.fm. And use the promo code Gilbert for 1 month free trial of Howl Premium.
I'm gonna change courses here.
I accidentally
that's all right. We'll do a future episode. A famous director turned 84 today, and so I don't think we've ever talked about a director specifically for
Ron
one of,
Howard
for one of these things. Yeah, he was a child prodigy, born in Philadelphia. A lot of people think this guy was a Brit, because he did his best work in Britain, and that's Richard Lester.
Yes. Yes, that's one of those people everyone assumed was English because of Hard Day's Night and movies like that.
But what's interesting about him, and he turned 84 today, I mean, he's been a recluse for years, which is another interesting thing about him, but he was born in Philly, and he did live television in Philly, and he was influenced by Ernie Kovacs, because Ernie Kovacs was working out of the same television studio, and he was a child prodigy. He went to college at 15 and was going to become a psychologist, and then fell in love with show business, and he moved to the UK because he thought he would get more work, and that's how he was noticed by Peter Sellers. He went to work for the Goon Show, and that led to the Beatles basically handpicking him to make A Hard Day's Night and Help. And he made some great films. I mean, not only those Beatles films. He was on our original list. We talked about him for the show. I don't think he gives interviews.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But did you ever hear a movie called The Knack and How to Get It?
Yes. Yes. About where it's like the nerdy English guy.
Correct.
And the cool.
Played by Michael Crawford, who would go on to become the Phantom of the Opera. And he made that between the two Beatle movies. Terrific stuff. The first screen appearance of Jacqueline Bisset and Charlotte Rampling.
Wow.
By the way, The Knack and How to Get It, a little trivia.
Oh, very important.
Yes.
It's Bisset.
What did I say?
You said Bisset.
Jacqueline Bisset. Bisset. Jacqueline.
It's kind of like calling her Demi Moore instead of Demi Moore.
What about Whit Bissell? And then he directed A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which was Keaton's last screen appearance. So he worked with all of these great comedians.
Yeah.
He worked with Keaton. He worked with Sellers and Spike Milligan and the Goons. And then he made an anti-war picture called How I Won the War, the one with John Lennon.
Yes, yes.
And he has this great body of work. Petulia with George C. Scott and
yeah.
Julie Christie. You know that picture?
Oh, yeah.
Which he came back to America to do. And you don't hear much about him. You know, maybe if Hard Day's Night is dug out of mothballs or you know, people are talking about the Beatle movies or some of the old Sellers stuff. But he's really a great director with a great body of work. And interestingly, there was a death of a famous British actor on the set of his last movie. And there is some speculation that he held himself responsible for the death of this British actor named Roy Kinnear.
Yeah.
Who was injured in a stunt and broke his pelvis and then died of a heart attack in the hospital.
Oh.
And that was in the late 80s, and he never directed another film. Because he made those Three Musketeer pictures,
yeah,
the ones with Raquel Welch and
yeah.
Christopher Lee.
And was what's his name in it? Reed?
Was yeah, Oliver Reed yeah. was one of the Musketeers, and Michael York. He made a revisionist Robin Hood movie called Robin and Marion with Sean Connery. He did some really great work. And influenced Scorsese and Soderbergh and Coppola and the Coen brothers. And so if you guys don't know Richard Lester, look at his stuff.
I it's funny. It just gets me onto another thing of someone was talking to John Lennon,
mm-hmm.
and he said when they were making A Hard Day's Night, they had sent this writer to travel with them. And he said the writer came up with, well, you know, John's the sharp one, Paul's the whimsical one, Ringo is the silly little mm-hmm. kid, George is the serious. And he said it was, you know, John said it was all bullshit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But those films are so much fun.
Hard Day's Night
it's just
still
a joy.
Works.
Yeah, it's just a joy. I just saw it in a movie theater.
And,
I think two years ago or last year.
And you got to see the difference here. Well, I mean, not like you were expecting it to be A Hard Day's Night, but the Spice Girls movie, Spice World, was trying to be Hard Day's Night.
You saw the Spice Girls movie?
Well, 10 times.
Incredible.
Because you don't get the full story.
Right.
First.
Of course. Gotta come back. So.
And you remember my Jessel Bissell Bissett.
Of course.
Christine.
Of course. That's what I was referencing.
Yes.
I never knew it was Jacqueline Bissett.
Bissett.
All these years.
Bissett, Bissell.
Whit Bissell.
Yeah. Ted Bissell.
Right.
Whit Bissell, Georgie Jessel.
Isn't there a joke that a review by the Jewish press?
We like Bissell, but Bissell, but only a. Oh, the Jewish press says
it.
We like Bissell, but only a Bissell.
That's the first time I ever saw you do stand up at the comic strip. I saw you do that bit.
Yeah.
In the I'm going to date myself and you in the late 70s.
Oh, geez.
Early 80s.
Oh, geez.
So Richard Lester worked with everybody from the Beatles to Peter Sellers to Buster Keaton to Zero Mostel, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Marty Feldman is in The Bedsitting Room, which is a post-apocalyptic comedy. Look at his films. He hasn't made a film in a long time. It's a long shot to get him on the show, but boy, wouldn't that be fun.
Oh, that would be great.
To talk to him about those Beatles movies.
So today.
And then Ann Gillian to talk what? About. And then we'll call Ann Gillian to talk about.
Yeah.
Talk about Bob. And Brooke Shields.
Show you're 14.
He was always so lecherous.
So we've been talking about the great director Richard Lester.
Richard Lester, who was not British.
And the sad, hysterical decline of Bob Hope. This has been...
Colossal depression.
Yes! Gilbert and Gottfried's colossal suicidal depression.
See you next time.